Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. Let's head to the courtroom where Karen Reed's hearing is resuming after the grave concern comment was raised last week by Judge Beverly Cannone. Let's go to the courtroom.
I'll need to call the United States Attorney's Office and get an answer from the court.
All right, I appreciate that. Sorry to interrupt.
And so the portrayal that there was a rules of the road, there was no such rules of the road. Neither Attorney Lally or McLaughlin ever contacted any witnesses directly because they understood that that was precluded. And so there was not an opportunity to call or discuss or have conversations, share direct examinations, or have emails with these witnesses. In fact, it's underscored, isn't it, by the emails that we received where Dr. Wolf replies on the 24th saying U.S. Attorney's Office essentially told them to hold off on communications. It doesn't seem like it would be a very clear rule of the road to have independent conversation with these witnesses and then be cautioned that that no longer was viable. And so inevitably, it was the understanding that nobody would be speaking to the witnesses. And I did see in the transcript, in the voir dire, where it was asked, were you available to the Commonwealth? And the witness said, yes. I don't know any basis whatsoever for the witness to suggest that there was any invitation to speak to them. And so what we have is we have witnesses that were wholly portrayed as independent. When we look at the testimony, it was represented many times in court leaving the impression that the defense had no access and no special relationship with the ARCA witnesses. On June 5th, 2024, day 26 of trial.
What date?
Day 26 of trial.
That, but what date?
June 5th, 2024. Discussing scheduling and voir dire hearings, the defense said, I provided everything we have. I can't make up discovery. I mean, I got a report. And everybody in this group knows why I can't provide additional discovery for ARCA. Everybody knows they've got what I've got. Your Honor asked, I haven't. If you can't, that's fine. So not everybody knows, and I make those decisions. Response, certainly, certainly. You're the one who needs to know, and I thought you knew. The federal authorities will not allow me to interview or ask for additional information from anybody in their world. So I have nothing. I've got a report. He's got the report. That's it. I'm going to start asking questions on the report. That's it. He can cross my report. So as many times as he says, I don't know what they're going to testify to. Yes, you do, because they're going to testify to the contents of the report. And those are definitely questions I'm going to ask, so I've got clean hands.
All right, so you're reading from a transcript. As you know, there are dozens of transcripts. What's the volume number? There's Dave, I'm sorry. What's Dave. The volume number and the page number?
Day 26 of trial, page 248 to 250. I will get a volume number to the court.
That's okay.
This seems to directly contradict the theory that Attorney Lisi has been promoting today of the rules of the road. This does not suggest that ARCA is open for business and private discussion and consultation of payment. It says the opposite. It says the opposite. The federal authorities will not allow me to interview or ask for additional information from anybody in their world, so I have nothing. And so this presentation today by Attorney Lisi, suggesting somehow that this was open and notorious, is not backed up by the defense attorneys themselves. The June 10th hearing, we've already been through it. I won't repeat it, but those comments are important. I think what stands out about the prior hearings, and I say that I think that there's a murky relationship that we have not done more than scratch the surface of, is Your Honor may remember that the defense noticed three experts, including Mr. Klein. When we get to June 10th, Your Honor is asking, regarding the three experts from ARCA, and this is June 10th, 2024, trial transcript 28.
Hold on 1 second. Let me go with that.
I believe it's page 12.
Okay.
And you were asking about the three experts from ARCA. And you mentioned, notably, I can't tell who does what or what the basis of the opinion is. And when you look at the ARCA report, there's no delineation on which of the three experts did what in that report. You can't tell what role each of them played from the report. And so if we only had the report, we wouldn't know which of those experts to call. And so when you continued questioning, you were told, you said, so I'm to believe that the defense is calling three witnesses that you've never spoken to and putting them on the stand. And Mr. Yannetti said, that's essentially it. He gives some detail. As mentioned earlier, we've spoken to them only for the purposes of coordinating their testimony and background. The important point for this particular point is that the defense inevitably calls two witnesses, Mr. Wolf and Mr. Rentschler. And when they only call Mr. Wolf and Mr. Rentschler, there must be a reason why. Because you can't tell from the report who did what. They notice three experts. So there must be conversations with somebody explaining the witness's role or why only two of those three witnesses are important to the defense. And so it is clear from the absence of information, there are much more communications that are expected to be in existence that have not been provided. page on June 18th, 2024. The voir dire hearing. The court asks, well, I thought that you would help.
I've got the transcript. What page do you want? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
No, but I can.
If it's just your notes, that's okay.
I can pull it up. Page 4, line 11, the court asks, so the understanding of the voir dire is that this is for the Commonwealth's motion to exclude this testimony. All right, that's what we're here for, the Rule 14 violation. And Mr. Jackson says, is that the same with Dr. Wolf and Dr. Rentschler? And the court says, well, I thought that would help both of you. The Commonwealth has nothing on that, and you say you haven't been able to even talk to them at all about this case. And the answer is that's correct. Now, refrain from my opinion and characterizations. Unlike the defense, I think that the transcript speaks for itself. I'll let it speak for itself. When we continue in the voir dire hearing, page 71.
Okay.
Line 4. Importantly, were you hired by the defense in this case? No, sir. Before this morning, when you walked into court, had you and I ever met face to face? No, sir. Now, this illustrates an important point. That is technically true. But what impression is that making to the court and to the Commonwealth? Is that a genuine impression consistent with reality? Line 20, the person to my left, the female to my left sitting here, have you ever seen her before? Nope. Do you know who she is? Yes. And so there is direct and indirect commentary, questions, presentations that reinforce that the defense and ARC are wholly independent from each other. This is also consistent with the representations regarding payment. There are questions, voir dire, and at trial, about whether or not the witnesses were ever paid. It may be technically true they were not paid at the time they were asked the questions, but if there is an expectation of payment, it is a promise, reward, and inducement. It can show bias. There's nothing wrong with paying an expert. There's nothing wrong with going over a direct examination with an expert. There is nothing wrong with talking about particular questions with an expert. But when these experts are being portrayed a certain way, that they're independent, that there is no evidence or information about them, then it is not a fair representation. It is not an honest representation. Now, it wasn't until Your Honor asked today that we even knew that the defense gave this bill. When you look at the bill, there's some things that stand out. There's a tax ID number, an invoice dated July 12, 2024, and the rest to...
Hold on one second, please. Okay.
It's addressed to Attorney Jackson. And the position that the defense takes, Attorney Lisi takes today, this came out of the blue that they had to pay. Apparently, everybody in the know knew the defense was paying for this expert other than the defense. ARCA experts knew. Dr. Wolf knew. Dr. Rentschler apparently knew. The federal government knew. When you look at the bill, there are things that stand out that are so notable that you can't go back and try to twist them or change them. Look at the first entry of May 1st, 2024. That is before June 10th. That is before the representations that there was no intention of compensation. Apparently, the witnesses they were going to call expected that they were going to be paid by the defense, and they wouldn't have been keeping track of their time back on May 1st, 2024, participating in a telephone call with Alan Jackson. And so the March 20th email asking for an engagement letter and a retainer, and then the 24th saying we need to take a step back because the U.S. Attorney's Office. 22nd and 24th. There is obviously more communications because the relationship re-engages at least on or before May 1st, 2024. And these witnesses understand that they're going to be paid by the defense. And as I mentioned in the materials we got from the United States Attorney's Office on February 12th, there is no billing related to prep for voir dire, travel, trial, none. So the only people who were surprised that they were paying the witnesses, apparently, was the defense themselves. And then before that June 10th hearing, where the representations were made, there's a June 9th, 2024 phone call. Another participated in telephone call with Alan. And then we see before the voir dire testimony, there is billing to the defense, which is now being paid by the defense, prepared for voir dire testimony, June 17, 2024. What we don't know is, in the preparation, was there any conversation with the defense? Was there any emails? Were there any documents? Were there any outlines? Was there any discussion about the potential testimony, or is this solely the preparation of Dr. Rentschler on his own? On the same day, 3 hours billed by Dr. Wolf, prepared for testimony and hearing. Now, they felt inclined and comfortable billing the defense for, was there any interaction or discussion between the parties? We don't know. This was the time that the court gave the defense an opportunity to bring in their product, their receipts, the emails, to elucidate, illustrate, demonstrate, prove what the relationship was. We don't have anything. We have nothing more than we did last week. On June 18, 2024, a round trip to Norfolk Superior Court by Dr. Rentschler, and also separately for his testimony, 8 hours billed, 12 hours for Dr. Wolf billed to the defense. June 21st, Dr. Rentschler prepares for his trial testimony, bills the defense, 5 hours. Again, we have no idea if that includes in any way correspondence, communication, interaction with the defense. June 21st, Dr. Wolf, the same, prepares for trial, 6 hours. June 23rd, Dr. Wolf travels to Boston for trial, significant delays, round, and then Dr. Rentschler on the 24th, round trip, Norfolk Superior Court, 11 hours, 6.5 hours, respectively, billed to the defense. Now, it's hard to believe these witnesses would put forward money and expenses and travel without some understanding that they were going to get paid. It is hard to believe this company, especially after receiving an email about engagement and retainer, especially after having conversations, collaborating on their potential testimony, it is hard to believe that they would come to Boston, spend their time and their own money to do this, to just simply send a bill later with no expectation of being paid. In fact, there's a very specific accounting of their time. And when one accounts for their time, it's because they need to have a contemporaneous record so they can get paid for that time. Also billing for wait time and travel, testimony at trial on June 24th, and then there's expenses for June 18th and June 24th. specific expenses, $1,749, $1,932. So they are keeping very careful track of the bill that they send. Within 1 month of the defense, that gets paid that Commonwealth in the court never knows about. Talk about correcting a record. And so this $23,925, we find out today, it was paid by the defense. We hear that there was a conversation with the federal government. We have no affidavit, we have no witness, we have no writing, no email, no correspondence, nothing to support or put in context the conversation, nothing, nothing. And so, when you look at the story on this bill and the timing of it and the details of it, we know that we are getting a fraction of the story, a fraction. It's not enough to blame the court, blame the Commonwealth, blame the U.S. Attorney's Office. There's some accountability. In addition, when you look at the totality of representations made in court, we also, at some point, are going to address the Commonwealth's position of violations of 3.6. That's a motion. It's interesting that after the last court hearing, well-known reporter, very reputable reporter, Christine Rex, asks Mr. Jackson about paying the bill. And what I'd suggest, more 3.6 activity. Quote, no, of course not. That was the position last week. So what we're left with is we still don't know the relationship between the defendants and ARCA. We don't know about the impact it had on the first trial. There have been these multiple representations that ARCA was independent, they had their opinions, and they were exculpatory. ARCA's opinions changed. There were four opinions. And if you look at their report, and I'm not going to read it for sake of the press and the public, which will have a trial and will vet it at trial. But when you read the report, clearly the representations made about that report were extended at trial. And the question is going to be, why? Why did they improve? Why did they...
particular page of my paper without cite?
Yes. If you look at the first page.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
you don't have to read any of it, you just tell me the paragraph.
Yeah, I think it's just the first paragraph that lays out their findings.
Thank you very much.
Particularly note number four, and both publicly, repetitively, but also at trial, the parameters of that were extended substantially. There is a summary again at the end of that report, substantially says the same thing if you look at the last page, which is signed by all three of the experts, Mr. Wolf, Mr. Renshaw, and Mr. Klein, says essentially the same thing. So we'd be oblivious if we stood here and said that the relationship between the defense and the experts, there was no relevance to bias or motive, or desire to please, because clearly there's a change, there's an expectation of payment, there's communication. And to suggest that an outline was provided so close to the testimony, therefore it shouldn't have been shared, it isn't just what's in that outline. It's the fact that they have the relationship Attorney Jackson may have brought out that accidents happen often at night. It's not the point. The point is that the offer witness is willing to forego that information as a benefit to the defense. That is the heart of what is missing and what is hidden. And so there are a number of instances, three of them, in the outline where the offer clearly is trying to accommodate the defense. And by representing to the court that there is no relationship, the hands are clean, they have no information, is not only not accurate, it is misleading and unfair. So we know there is more. The question is, will we get it before trial? I have another TUI letter going out this week. I don't know how long it will take to respond to it, and the TUI letter is not going to be thorough or complete. It's just not the way TUI works. And so we are in the same spot. Well, actually, we're in a better spot. We know now about the relationship. We know about the potential bias. We know about the payments. But we don't know the full scope of it. And so we are entitled to that information. We don't know what conversations and communications the defense had with the ARC experts that the federal government doesn't know about. Over the next few weeks, we're going to attempt to get more information, but we will never have an accurate accounting unless it's compelled. Your Honor has mentioned the sidebar.
Which one?
The most recent one.
Okay.
I am not trying to be overly critical of another attorney. I'm not. You can laugh, but I'm not. It has been my effort to get Rule 14 material. It has been my effort not to exclude ARCA witnesses. It has been my effort to try to achieve fair play. There's been no other way to compel any information other than to file motions in this case. And it is not incumbent on the government to fight for this information. We're entitled to it. We're entitled to it. And at this point, we have no confidence whatsoever, none, that we're going to receive the information that we deserve.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Lesley, very briefly, if you have something.
Yes, thank you, and I'll be very brief. And I hope we get an opportunity to have a more wholesome response, but I'm going to be very brief on the key points. Attorney Brennan focused a lot on the invoice. As I said, I work with experts all the time. The experts keep track of time. They had historically been paid by the government. There's another completely rational, more probable explanation that they have been retained by the government. They were being paid by the government. They maybe at a certain point didn't know who was going to pay their bills because they turned out they were going to provide testimony. That's a whole different issue, what they expected to be paid and by whom, from what the defense expected. So two things can be true. It can be at some point they thought they were going to get paid, but up to that point they were being paid by the government. And the entries, all that Mr. Brennan went through, particularly the early ones, there is zero evidence before the court on any basis that they expected on those dates of those entries that they were going to be paid by the defense. And it's very important because Attorney Brennan spent most of his time on that invoice. With regard to the comment he made, and this is the problem when we have, when we don't have notice, like I provided a notebook so everybody could see it, we don't have some of the things that Mr. Brennan was referring to, but he referred to, of all things, Mr. Jackson's response to a reporter. We're here talking about communications to the court. But to be clear, the reporter asked, did you pay for testimony? Did you pay for testimony? Mr. Jenks, of course, said no. I paid for their time.
Did he say I paid for their time?
Pardon me?
Did he say I paid for their time?
Mr. Jackson?
I said the words, of course not. Did you pay these witnesses for their testimony? And I said, of course not. If the court were to ask me that question today, I would respond exactly the same way.
All right, so you just said that I paid for their time. That was not said, right?
That was not said, but I'm saying there's always some inference about what he said that what was said, but that was his response, that was it. But it was only, the premise of Attorney Brennan was, what Mr. Jackson said to the reporter was different from what you've heard in court today, and it wasn't. It's important to be accurate. The other things that I'm going to go through quickly is it kept stating that there had to be a belief that they were going to be paid by the defense. There is no evidence whatsoever for that because it didn't exist. So now with regard quickly again to the other topics, Attorney Brennan talked about three witnesses, right? And he said he was, I believe I took it as clearly inferring three ARCA. Your Honor can go back to the transcript. It was Dr. Russell was the third one.
Oh, I thought it was the three ARCA people. I can go back to the transcript.
You can go back to the transcript. Earlier on, there was a discussion way early on.
Who is Mr. Klein?
He was a third ARCA expert that was involved for the government, right? And then he stopped and we didn't retain him for testimony. Let me be clear on what I mean by retained. He didn't testify.
It's been a long time.
I understand. I'm trying to answer your question, Your Honor.
I know, and I realize that you just said something that you want to explain. Go ahead and explain.
Right. So what I'm saying is, in terms of, I'm going to take back the retained. The point is, there were originally three ARCA persons on the report that we got from the government, right? Rentschler, Wolf, and Klein. We only went forward with the testimony of Rentschler and Wolf. And that's what I want to come to, Your Honor. The whole emphasis was that the Commonwealth had no notice that we were going to use these experts. Your Honor, the voir dire was the notice. And my point was, I didn't say that there was no bias. What I said was, once you decide you're going to use an expert, right, you're going to be having them testify. Anybody could claim that testimony is biased. But the point is, Your Honor, that the allegation that somehow mysteriously this third person that was being discussed, and clearly the inference was that we were misrepresenting still about which ARCA witnesses, because we weren't talking about the third. The third was Dr. Russell, and you'll see that in the transcript.
Okay, but when I said you expect something, whatever I said, you expect me to believe that you are calling three witnesses whom you've never spoken to. When I had that discussion with Ms. Giannetti, that's what I meant.
Thank you for bringing that up, Your Honor. And that was just ARCA. That was nothing to do with Dr. Russell. But here's the important part. Attorney Brennan didn't read the rest of it. You're to believe him.
So where are we? Are we the June 10th?
Yes, please, Your Honor. June 10th. That's exactly right. It was June 10th. It's important. He stopped on
page 12.
Yes, thank you. So on June 10th, so you're to believe, this is line 19. So I'm to believe that the defense is calling three witnesses that you've never spoken to and putting them on the stand here. Here's the response in its total. That's essentially it. We've spoken to them. So it's not like it wasn't disclosed there was a conversation. It was. We've spoken to them only for the purposes of coordination of their testimony and their background. We've not been able to interview them regarding their findings, which are outlined in detail in the report. Your Honor, that's 100% true. Because
I read that earlier.
Right, but Mr. Brennan just mischaracterized it again because that is 100% true. He made it seem like that was an untruthful statement, and I know Your Honor gets it. The last two points, Your Honor, Attorney Brennan talked about that the ARCA experts improved their testimony. My point, Your Honor, was their opinions never changed. Whether they improved is a characterization, but their opinions
did not change. And that is very important. And the last point, Your Honor, goes to the discussion that Your Honor was having with the questioning of Ms. Little, Mr. Jackson. I want to be very clear on February 6th, and this is going to be my very last point. When Your Honor asked the questions on February 6th, and Mr. Jackson responded about the discovery, and I said to you that Ms. Little was the one handling the discovery. And I spoke with Ms. Little and I spoke with Mr. Jackson, and they're going to be completely available for any questions that follow up on this. I asked Ms. Little during the break. She wasn't here for that February 6th. She obviously didn't hear the sidebar. But I said, when you learned of what the Judge Pannone was asking about, I said, in your head, what was going on and what came to your head? Because I said Mr. Jackson didn't make any knowing misstatement because he had no recollection of any of those March emails. So I asked Ms. Little, who would, between the two of them, would, if there was any recollection. So during the break, I asked Ms. Little. I said, Ms. Little, when you heard and got the order, because that's the first she knew of the inquiry, she gets the order. I said, when you got that and you saw that you had to turn over discovery, when you read that, did it come to your mind? Did it come to your mind that there are these March emails? And she said, no. I didn't recall them. I didn't remember their existence. And what I did was I knew we had to turn over discovery. I then went back. I rediscovered those emails. And that's how I had recalled it. That is important, Your Honor, because there has to be a knowing misstatement of fact for 3.3a. So not only did Mr. Jackson not know at the time Mr. Jackson made those statements and recall those emails, neither did Ms. Little, who was the keeper of all the discovery. And that is my last point, and I will conclude this way, Your Honor. Attorney Brennan conflated Rule 14 issues with the 3.3a1 issues. They are completely separate. I am not here today, Your Honor, to take the position that the defense is in perfect compliance with Rule 14. We're not. But that's a whole different question, a whole different question from whether the attorneys are in compliance with 3.3a. And I would urge Your Honor, as I know you will, to keep those distinctions as we go through the matter, because conflating them is not proper for the analysis. And my last is a citation of law, Your Honor. It was said that Gonzalez involved a very minor issue. Attorney Brennan is correct. There was a minor issue in Gonzalez, but the Supreme Court went through those things that could rise to it. And I'm going to give you another cite, Your Honor, which is United States versus Diazzi, that involved a lot of serious issues with regard to conduct of counsel. They were not pro hoc vice, but it's 807 Fed Second 12 First Circuit 1986, where Your Honor can read it as to what were happening. The attorney's conduct was deplorable, and yet the court held that you could not disqualify them because of the Sixth Amendment. And my last point, Your Honor, is when you do a Sixth Amendment analysis, whether or not the attorney at issue is pro hoc vice or not is not weighty in the determination of balancing the Sixth Amendment. It is not. In the abstract, Your Honor, in civil cases, is it easier to knock out a pro hoc vice? That would be absolutely correct. But when it comes to a criminal case where a defendant, their choice of counsel, that is a much different analysis with the Sixth Amendment. So I will stop there, Your Honor, because you said to be brief. There would be more I would have to say, but those are the highlights for the moment.
Anything, Mr. Brown?
Very briefly, Your Honor. My arguments to the court have always been focused on Rule 14. The verbal gymnastics that counsel engages in to use words like misrepresentation to distort reality is extraordinary. So let's use the defense words themselves. If you look at Docket 505, which was signed in a pleading,
That was filed late, right?
February 6th.
Saturday or something.
February 16th, 2025. This sums it up, really. And this is signed by Attorney Jackson, Attorney Alisi, Attorney Manetti. Certificate of service by Attorney Little.
Was it signed by Ms. Little? It's not.
Ms. Little
has
only done the certificate of service.
By? Okay.
She did not sign it. It was signed by Attorney Jackson, Alisi, and Yannetti. And this is the defendant Karen Reed's opposition to Commonwealth's motion for to exclude employees of ARCA LLC. And here's the representation they made. Not my words, not a misstatement, not a distortion. This is their words. Now comes the defendant Karen Reed, Ms. Reed, and respectfully requests that this honorable court deny the Commonwealth's motion to exclude the expert testimony of employees of ARCA LLC, namely Daniel Wolf, PhD, and Andrew Rentschler, PhD. Here's the important part. The Commonwealth's motion to exclude these exculpatory expert witnesses who were not hired or paid for by the defense is not made in good faith and is a desperate and transparent attempt to keep exculpatory testimony of neutral expert witnesses from reaching the jury in this case. I know Attorney V.C. Nola likes the word retain, but that retain word has import. The reason he said it. Their words, their motion, this is no different than the tone of representations made February, last June, May, and before. Thank you.
All right. So we're back here next week. I believe we're back here Tuesday, Wednesday, and perhaps Friday. Is that accurate?
Your Honor, may I speak to Wednesday, please, the 5th? As this court may know, Mr. Jackson, myself, and Attorney Weinberg are scheduled to appear before the federal court.
What time?
9:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Could we possibly go there and then
yes.
come here immediately afterwards?
Sure.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Sure. All right, but we'll see you here. Jim, we have these all scheduled at 9?
We do.
Okay. All right, so we'll see everybody here Tuesday at 9. We've blocked off the day for Tuesday, Wednesday, and of course I'll let you go to federal court first, and also Friday. All right, so I'll see you next week.
What am I, please?
That's the latest from the Karen Reed hearing and Judge Beverly Cannone and all of the characters in this saga. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates on this case and others. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone. smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.